Can you guys hear me?
I got you.
You can't hear me?
You can't hear me?
Hello.
I can hear.
All right.
Raquel.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me? All right, cool.
Hi, Ms. Wynn. Hello, Ms. Winder. How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Trying to stay cool on this super hot day.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me about it. My goodness. Miss Brown, she has a pool, and she says that she can't get in the pool because the pool is hot. Even the water in the pool is hot.
And it's like the mugginess, too, is what really gets you. You walk outside, and you're just, like, instantly sticky.
Right, exactly.
So, Ali emailed me for the meeting info, so he should be joining us soon.
Okay.
I spoke to Mr. Cooper today, so I know he's coming on.
Oh, good.
Ms. Winder, what have you been doing to keep busy?
Just working. It's time for the audit, so getting all that fun stuff together. And
sounds thrilling, Ms. Winder.
They'll be coming to the school on Monday, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Ms. Amanda! Can you hear me yet? I love your glasses. They look like that Harry Potter glass.
Oh, why, thank you. Yes, they are for, like, computer screens, because, you know, we've been on them a lot more frequently.
Yeah. Oh, they're special glasses?
Yeah, for just, like, computers to, like, stop your eyes from hurting and getting headaches, so.
Oh, neat.
Blue lens glasses.
Yes, blue, yes.
Oh, they're called blue lens?
Yeah, yes. Blue lens, blue light. They're, whatever you search, it'll come up.
Oh, I gotta get some of that.
I know they make them with prescription ones, too.
Yeah.
It's just like an extra thing they add to your glasses.
I'm writing that down.
Hi, Ms. Huffner.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Ms. Huffner. How's the little one?
Oh, she's not here yet, so that's a good thing. We thought she was coming a few weeks ago. We had a little.
Really?
Yeah, on my birthday.
Oh, it would have been your birthday present.
Yeah, but so early.
Yeah.
Well, when's your actual due date?
September 10th.
But
I went to
way too early.
Yeah, I went to the doctor today, and she's thinking more the end of August, so I'll be happy with that, I guess.
Yeah.
August 22nd is a good day.
Is that your birthday?
Yeah, that's my birthday.
That's her answer, wedding.
But if you could stretch it out to September 24th, that's all.
Oh.
That's wild.
She's trying to overcook the baby.
He doesn't talk about that, though, because that's my brother-in-law. September
20th. Ali in the house. We see you, brother.
Oh.
Hey.
Hey.
Cool.
Hey, Amy. This is like a party. Hi, Mr. Shelton.
I like her.
Hey, Miss Yates.
Okay.
Hello, I can't get sound. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yep.
I couldn't get sound via my computer, so I don't know what's going on. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Miss Amanda.
Hello.
Mr. Johnson, can you pull your computer screen down a little bit?
Oh. See, now you messed them up.
Yeah, see what you did.
Shouldn't have said nothing. I mean, shouldn't have said nothing.
She's like, fine, don't see me at all then. look at this black screen.
That says Ollie.
All right, see if
here comes Principal L.
I got another month. Get that cough. I got it the last time. So. All right, I'm going. Hey, Miss Neal. What you eating? Hello. I say, Miss Wanda, you got a call. She's having a little snack, and there you go. Got a call. Principal L, how you doing today, sir?
Yeah, how are you, my brother?
Good, good, good. I can't complain. Can't complain at all.
That's good.
I could it's complain, like, but you don't want to hear it.
Looks like
Mr. Cooper. So we have Mr. Cooper. We had Ollie here on video, but he just dropped. Him and Mr. Cooper at the same time is like winning. It's like
having who and Cooper.
Ollie was on with video and sound, but really? I don't know what happened. Yep. But, well, no.
Oh, wow, we're getting a full Cooper. House.
Oh, yeah.
I can see Cooper.
Yep, Cooper's here. I don't know what happened to Mr. Johnson. He was just here. He was on video. I gave him a shout out. Oh, here he comes.
Yeah, I don't see where I'm in.
I see Reverend Burris.
We can see you. Well, I got to be Reverend Burris.
Whatever.
How you doing, brother?
Okay.
All right. Good, all right. Mr. Smith in the house.
How's it going? What's
up, right. Shell? How you doing, Shell? You all right?
What's up, sir? How you doing?
I'm good.
Good.
A little tired, Shell.
Your brother staying out there?
Cooper. He got two little kids, Cooper.
Get out of time, yo.
Yeah.
All right, I'll pull up the agenda. I'm just going to give 2 seconds, see if Mr. Johnson can just hop on.
I'm going to go kidnap Ollie one day and just put him in front of my computer.
He was here, too. I was celebrating two
Why all right.
Bless you.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and we got 15 folks on. So go ahead and pull up the agenda and we'll get rolling. I appreciate everybody dialing in. All right, folks, I'll go ahead and just get us officially started, make good use of everybody's time. I am recording, Ms. Wander. We'll officially go ahead and open 6:04 p.m. And we'll just want to thank everybody for taking the time to call in today. Clearly, with all that's going on, with COVID-19 and just all sort of scenarios that could end up happening. It's definitely a good meeting to have 15 people dialed into. So I definitely appreciate that. So welcome. Hopefully everyone is working inside today and didn't have to do too much outside. Mr. Shelton, hopefully you weren't hooping outside or anything like that.
I was out on the tennis court yesterday morning. It was hot.
Yeah, it's hot. I went out this morning for a bit of exercise. So, like, at 6:15, it was already hot. You knew it was going to be pretty hot. We'll start with the approval of the June minutes. Those were sent out. I do have them up. I'll just share them on my screen briefly. So take a moment, look at that. Mr. Brown, I was wondering who was missing. Mr. Brown.
And Ollie said he's back on. You see him?
All right.
Yeah, he's down at the bottom.
Just not the video.
Okay, yep, he's on. just not video. All right, cool. Long as he's there. Let me just make sure he's. Yep, he's there. Mr. Johnson, you got any sound though?
I think he can hear because he's texting me every time I say something. He's saying, I heard that.
All right. So, we take a look at the minutes. Let us know if you have any questions there. I'm going to just text Emil Brown real quick and see if he's going to join us.
Mikhail, also, I don't know if you noticed that Miss Wynn, one of our teachers, is on too. I don't know if you know, one of our first grade lead teachers.
No, I hadn't. I got, when I shared this video, I lost my full screen. Let me open it back up.
Yeah, I noticed her. She said she was going to try to be on the meeting tonight.
Here I am. I have made it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. She's been on that one. All right, I'll take a motion on the minutes, if it's your will.
Okay, I make a motion that the minutes be approved as written.
Second, Nicole Huffner.
All right, it's been approved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposition? All right, the ayes have it. I'm operating on two screens, so when I look on the other side, I'm not looking away from you. All right, public comment. Any parent comment?
No.
Parent comment, all right. Any teacher comment?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, it's Miss Wynn from first grade. I just wanted to take some time to thank you guys and let you know the teachers definitely appreciate you sending out that survey and getting our input. We feel heard and supported and loved during this crazy time. So I know I am personally grateful, as well as at least my team, I'm assuming more, to be a part of such a big decision about opening up schools. So we appreciate you guys sending out that survey. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I appreciate the school leadership in particular during this difficult time. It's just, you know, there's no precedent, there's no playbook, there's right. no template, and you know, I just appreciate everyone being flexible and just kind of we're kind of just doing the best we can with the information we have, which isn't very much.
Right.
So I definitely credit the teachers, the administrative staff, and everyone at the school. I mean, the Burton's just been an awesome one. All right, any general public? I don't see any general public, but if any general public is here, feel free to chime in. All right, Mr. Brown, I see you got on, thanks.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Nah, I just texted you. I just wanted to make sure if you were there, you could pop in. All right. We'll move on to our business section. So, Mr. Brown, we haven't talked about much. Principal L will be able to share his school report with us. I'm going to pull it up on the screen in just a moment. What does that mean? I thought I had it up. Sorry about that.
We could try to get everybody to mute. I see many people have already muted their mics, we could probably cut out some of the background. It seems like we're getting some feedback from some in the background. So.
Wow, I thought I had your school report right here. And I don't, so I now have to go through my email to open it. Sorry about that delay. I'll pull it up eventually. Sorry about that, Principal. I'm going to hold you up. Feel free to go ahead and start.
Liz, can you email it to Mikhail right now? That way it'll be fresh. It'll be fresh in your email, and I'll start on some of the updates, and then we can go to the report while she sends that to you. Okay.
Yep. Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
So I'll just start with, our summer school program is currently going online. That will end July 23rd. And we have our summer school students for academic help, but we also have our light program that Mr. Smith is working with. And they are providing a summer program for those students who are working to get into some of those private schools and some of those top, high school, public high school. So they are still working hard this summer as well. Final report cards were mailed to students in June, and our eighth grade students returned all their laptops and picked up their graduation diplomas. I want to thank you, Mikhail, for signing every one of those certificates. In a short period of time, we turned that around. And I know we one of the things I take pride in is that we don't send them out. We don't stamp them. We don't get other people. You and I sign each of those certificates for those young people. So I appreciate that. And thanks to Wanda too for helping to facilitate that to happen for the young people. Jesse and his team are cleaning, waxing, painting the building, getting it ready. Hopefully for whenever we get back in here with the students, it'll be ready for the young people and the staff. Our original first day of school was going to be August 12th for staff, and then August 20th, Thursday, for students. But because we are not receiving any updates from the State Secretary of Education or the governor until early August, we're going to push the start of the school year up to August 24th. For teachers, and then for students right after Labor Day, September 8th. It'll be the first time in a long time, first time since I've been here, that we actually start after Labor Day. But it'll give the staff and families more time with their children and families, prepare for what the fall will bring us, but also give the school a chance to respond to whatever directives come from the state, so we're not scrambling trying to put a program together. So we are preparing for three scenarios: a full opening, a partial hybrid opening, or a full remote learning opening. And we know that there are people who are on either side. I mean, I know I'm a parent myself, so I know wanting the children back in school, but I want my children in school where I know that they're not going to come home and have to be home or in the hospital or teachers in that situation too. So we're trying to prepare for whatever the state brings to us. So because we're starting later, we're gonna have to end the year later. So as of now, we have our last day for students as of June 15th, unless something changes during the school year. We did a survey, as you heard Ms. Wynn mention. We surveyed the staff to get their input on how they felt about opening, full opening, partial, and full remote. Of course, a large number, and we asked some of their concerns. Of course, a large number of staff members were concerned about the health of their students and themselves once you get, because the state is not allowing meetings of larger than 50 to 100 people. But in our building, we'll have 800 people in there every day. Even though if we do a partial opening, there will be 300 to 400 people in the building, you know, every day. So that's something we have to think about. And next, so this week, we're going to send a survey to parents and get input from our parents as well, because they've been great partners in the whole rollout, because in March, there was no time to plan. They were just told, your child's going to be home. Here's what's going to happen. And they had to try to really move into a role of being an educator and a parent, you know, at the same time, and try to keep their jobs as well. So that was very challenging. So what we did allow our families to do is any child in grade K to seven, we allowed them to keep their laptops. So whenever we're ready to either come to school or go remote, those students will always have a laptop at home to assist them. So those parents did not have to return. They did not have to return their laptop, you know, as well. And then finally, as we communicate with the state, in terms of their announcements in August, we will come back to the board, but also to our staff and parents, and keep them updated. We have decided as an administrative team that we're going to go to a virtual learning platform. So Schoology will be the platform that we will use, which will allow students and parents to be able to access it in all across each grade. Mr. Smith is spearheading that with Ms. Yates. So I want to give them a second or two, just to, and I didn't actually tell them I was going to ask them to speak about this. So even if they just want to do an intro on it, but just if we can educate the board a little bit more, that way you'll understand where we're going and why we chose, you know, Schoology. We wanted to be consistent. Some of the feedback we received from teachers is they wanted a platform that students were using across grades, because we were using different methods of delivering the virtual education across grades. And also what we've been hearing from parents is that they wanted something that the students could operate with and not need as much parent, you know, assistance. So Mr. Smith, Ms. Yates, any comments on your thoughts about, now we are gonna provide some professional development for our staff, because we want our whole team, administrators, coaches, teachers, paraprofessionals, all to become well-versed in virtual learning, remote learning, virtual education, accessing the technology. So we're going to require everybody to participate in the professional development for this. But let me just get a word or two from one or both of them, sort of in terms of how they feel about us selecting Schoology and moving forward with it, with our staff and students.
So Schoology is a learning management system that allows teachers to house their links, their assignments, their tests, and things of that nature for their kids to take. So for example, for math, teacher could make weekly assignments, week one, day one, would have whatever activities the students need to complete. They can access the worksheets there and whatever other websites the teacher feels are important for the kids. And then this also connects to eSchool, which is where grades and things are housed.
I would just, for me, it's more like, it's just organization. So it really is like an organizational tool. So like Smith said, it just houses everything and makes it all in one place, so that it kind of makes everything feel more organized and easy and just accessible for the teachers and the kids.
Right. And so, all right, thank you. And so the most important thing is that there will be consistent communication and instruction across the grade. So as the teachers work together and the students move from teacher to teacher, they all know now that there's a platform that now allows the students to all sort of be standardized. And here's the thing, many school districts and many schools are using this platform across the nation. So it's not something that's sort of brand new. And there's loads of training and professional development. They actually have a YouTube channel. We sent that link out to the staff today so that they could, educators can acquaint themselves with how, and many of our teachers are already familiar with it, but so that they can begin to learn how they're going to work with this. We didn't want to wait until the announcement came. We want to now begin to train to be, because I think that we have to come to an understanding that education as we knew it before, it no longer exists. That this is our new normal. And we either move with the cheese or we wait for the cheese to come back. So we're going to have to move, especially with technology, because it changes so much. So there'll be a host of professional development opportunities that we will provide for the staff members in terms of accessing technology and also becoming experts with it. And we're also going to ascertain from them as well, what is it that you will need if you have to teach from home? What is it that you will need from home to help you be the best teacher you can be for your students? And then once we get that feedback, we'll come to the board and we'll talk about what is it that we can provide for teachers. We've already, last semester, we provided tripods for all the teachers to be able to mount their phones or iPads as cameras when they did their remote teaching. Ideas like something teachers didn't have to pay for. Now, I can imagine teachers stressing about buying their own PPE equipment and all kind of other things that we always stress as educators that we'll have to buy. So we'll find out what it is they'll need at home to be the best virtual educator they can be, and then we'll come back to the board with that. So thank you, Mr. Smith. Thank you, Ms. Yates, for that information. I appreciate that. And as we move forward, we'll continue to bring you updates on what it is that we're planning to do with the school. You'll never be in the dark about that. You'll be familiar with it. And we may actually, what we'll do is even send you some links so that you can maybe get a brief overview of what it is that we're providing to the students, families, and teachers, you know, as well. And I think that, did I miss anything, Ms. Yates? I think I got the new calendar. I got the new platform, survey out. I think I'm good.
So, Principal, do you have any thoughts? What do you, it's hard to, I would never be able to place odds or any sort of bet here. But do you have any, what's your gut say for the state's direction? Do you think they'll do this whole rotating in and out or any of the three? What do you think the leading horse might be?
My heart tells me is that they're probably going to go to full remote learning because the numbers, the daily numbers in some places are going up so much. And all summer, Delaware is a destination place. Those beaches are filled with people from other states. And I think that the rate of infections are going to cause some folks to really think about whether it's worth it to bring the young people. And the issue also is that these young people have been home, that they haven't really been exposed to anything. So we don't really know how they're going to, you know, react to it. So I think they may begin remote and then maybe do some slow, you know, phasing AB days, giving parents the opportunity to stay full remote if they want. But you just never know. So we want to be prepared for all three. But you know, we in Delaware, we have a teaching profession. We have a large number of teachers who are over the age of 40, who are with health issues. And even in our own school, we have teachers, but we have some students who have some, you know, health issues who will be impacted by. And they're still now learning about the long-term health implications of people who actually survived the virus. So not necessarily the death rate being important, but how are folks, there are folks who have recovered but are still sick 2 months later. And so they're beginning to study recovery rates and those kinds of things. So I'm thinking at this point, they may go with a full remote, but listen, who knows? If we got 4 weeks of people stay home and nobody gets sick, they may, you know, so if people would just stay in, they see they opened up too soon. But I don't want to get on that soapbox. But that's generally, now I've been wrong a lot. There have been times when you can erase my whole left side and I still wouldn't be right. So I could be wrong, but I just feel like they may choose the safe path and say no life is really worth jeopardizing our young people, staff, and families, because our young people are going home. Many of our students are being raised by grandparents.
Yeah, great grandparents. Absolutely. Yep.
You know, so and as you know, African Americans are disproportionately being impacted, you know, by the virus. But listen, I'm not trying to be the black Dr. Fauci. I'm just hoping that we can try to do the right thing and be prepared for whatever comes across us, making sure that we're ready to protect the students, the teachers, you know, and staff and the families as well.
It's funny, everyone's kind of going through this everywhere. My younger sister is a kindergarten teacher in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she was home this weekend, and same thing. They were supposed to go in 2 weeks, and they were leading as they thought they would do the rotation. She has, you know, 20 students, so it would be really eight or nine a day over a 3 week period. One in 1 week, off 2 weeks, you know, and kind of rotate them. But they won't know until for another 2 weeks as well. So it seems like everyone's kind of just kind of stuck in motion, just waiting for guidance from their various states. And, you know, the right thing to do is probably just be remote. But there's just so much pressure from so many different areas and so many different viewpoints that, you know, they're gonna try to consider everything, I think.
So a few school districts tried to do the summer program as like a test, and then students became sick, so they had to close one in Nevada. And in Arizona, you saw one teacher actually died from the COVID. All three teachers actually contracted it, but one passed away, so they shut that down. I don't think the students had even arrived yet. So they're trying in the small phases, but it's going to be a tough decision, you know, either way. So we'll just have to hope that folks will keep the mask on, stay away from the parties and whatnot, and do the right thing so we can get the kids back in school. We want them here. We need to be near them. And here's another important issue, too, as you may hear, and this is just for everyone, because as educators, you're going to have people asking you, what do you think? That there are people who are going to come and they're going to say, well, what about the fact that the students need to be there? They yearn for that touch, that connection. When we come back to school and they have to stay 6 feet away from everybody with a mask on, you can't hug anybody, there's no connection. And so there's some research around the fact how that may harm children as well when they're in your presence and they want to make that connection and they can't, they're not allowed to. So even when we do come back, there's so many barriers. You know, I got plexiglass being installed in the main office, a shield for the office. I'm gonna have one at the front desk. You know, it's teachers are gonna have one of those face shields. It's gonna be some people. I see people posting pictures of teachers inside of a bubble, a plastic bubble. It's gonna be a real challenge. So we'll stay diligent. The staff has been pretty good about making sure that we're staying focused and protecting one another and being prepared for when the children come back.
Yeah. Principal Bell,
yes, sir.
On Schoology, is there a fee for that?
Yeah. Oh, yes, sir. It is. Now, it's not a huge expense. It's actually rather cost friendly for us as a school. So there's a fee for it.
And per student? I'm sorry.
Yeah. It is per student, and the state pays half. So we pay half, the state pays half.
And what about state testing this year? Are they going to have that? And is it consistent with state testing at all? Or
they haven't announced the state testing schedule yet. Of course, you know, it was canceled last year.
Right.
You know, some experts are saying may be the first step to eliminating high stakes state testing and going to more of a baseline testing format. But we still will be using our curriculum. So it doesn't change the curriculum. It's just a platform to deliver it. So and our curriculum will be aligned with state standards and the state.
If we want to add to that, or if you need to add to that, is that possible to that platform? Can you get extra, Mr. Smith or Ms. Yates?
We can.
One big thing.
It itself is just the platform. So, like, we can get extra supply of curriculum type things to add to it if we needed to, yes.
Okay. And we share the school nurse, is that correct? There is a school nurse there every day?
Oh, yeah. School nurse okay. every day. But great point, because you know there's some schools who share nurse. Some right. schools that don't have a nurse. So that's a challenge in itself. And there are people who are criticizing us right now because they say schools are on Zoom making decisions to open. They're saying it's safe to go into school, but they're on Zoom making that decision.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
Yeah. But yeah, we do. We have a full-time nurse every day. And our nurse is not just a school nurse. We have a RN. So we're next level.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any I have a school nurse over Dickinson. She smokes on our break, so she doesn't do much help.
No, she don't.
Yes, she does.
I had a quick question. So I know that the state's going to have certain policies if they do decide to have, you know, students come back to school. But I was just wondering, are we thinking about having any policies of our own as far as, like, I'm thinking of students that that we know have, like respiratory conditions or, some other serious health issues that might not be best for them to kind of necessarily put them at risk. I just wasn't sure if it was one of those things where it's their decision, or are we going to set a policy for them, or are we just relying on the state to kind of like have those guidelines for those particular students?
Well, the state will have those guidelines, but I mean, to be quite honest with you, it actually would be illegal for us if a parent wants to send their child to school. No, and sadly, you can have a child who doesn't have a vaccination. We're actually allowed to deny them access to school. There's a certain amount of shots that you must get to be able to enroll in schools. But we're going to be asking children to come into school with a virus that we have no vaccination for.
Right.
But if we know of health issues, the only thing we can do is recommend. But we actually cannot deny due to health regulations, privacy issues, because there are many issues students have that only the nurse is aware of, and maybe the teacher and administration. But if it's something that will impact the health of the student, of course, that's why it's always great to have powerful relationships with parents, is to be able to communicate with the parent and let them know that although the opportunity is there, that's why we want our teachers to be well-trained in this technology and virtual education, because we can say to a parent now that we weren't able to say before, is that your child needs to be home. We recommend that. And we're going to make sure that they get the same level of education that they will receive if they were in school, that it will be delivered to them. And we will give you the tools to be able to do that. Last July, we would not have been able to say that. This July, we feel more comfortable as we're talking about powerful platforms and making sure that we're aligning our education to state standards, state testing, those kinds of issues. But from a legal aspect, we're actually not allowed to deny a child. Sadly, because a child could actually be hurt in our environment, we're not allowed to deny them, because we're a public school, to deny them access. But we have good relationships with our parents, where most times we're able to work out where we can determine a good setting for those children. But great question. For the edification of everyone, is that when the state gives those guidelines, we have to follow them. And then maybe we communicate with the state and let them know that we may have some specific circumstances that might need, some flexibility. But we typically have to follow those. As a charter, we get some autonomy, mm-hmm. but we pretty much have to follow those guidelines and then work with those families.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
Sorry, I forgot I had muted myself. Any other questions? All right. Can we have a motion to receive Principal L's school report?
Motion to receive Principal L's remarks.
Second, Emil Brown.
All right, thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, any opposition?
I said aye.
Ollie said aye. And Ollie also asked me to send the link, the YouTube link, to the board. So I'll just want everybody to know that I'll be, I told my wood, that YouTube link to the school, we're going to send that to everybody so you can sort of have some familiarity with what we're introducing, you know, to the staff as well.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So let's see. Next up, we have the school financials, which I have up this time. Share my screen.
I'll just get started while he's...
I'm ready this time.
Okay. For this June 30th, end of the school year, we ended with an excess or a positive variance in revenues. We were at $9,759,000 approximately. And this left a positive variance of $435,000 approximately. And this was due to increase in the unit count formula and the district funding formula, because we had extra kids more than budgeted, but we also had a little increase in that also. We also received state funds that were not budgeted for, that we weren't aware we were getting, the reading funds, the opportunity fund for mental health, and small critical needs scholarship, about $200,000. We also received $65,000 approximately in interest income for the funds that we have that are not in the state fund categories, but the local funds that's interest bearing. Let's see. Yeah, that's about it for the increase in revenues. For expenses, we actually were below budget, almost $500,000. So that left us at $9,656,000. But when we take away the contingency reserve, we actually ended the year at a better variance, $102,000. We did purchase additional computers so that we could use up some of those funds that we anticipated, that we know that we're actually going to get back from the state with the CARE grant. So that could would be a great offset. However, we still ended with over $100,000. We were trying to get some things done, like for the beginning of the school year, the painting, things like that. But we just couldn't get the vendors to get in time before the close. So we ended pretty good. Does anyone have any questions?
No, we ended up very good. Good that, you know, we ended the year in the black. Mm-hmm. This is a black number here. That's 103 as opposed to a red number, which is always good. It's a delicate balance. It's like we don't like to end the year very much in the black. We prefer to spend as much as possible and not be negative, if that makes sense. So it's a delicate balance. But rest assured, it's definitely a positive thing, and we appreciate the school's efforts.
Okay, one thing I also wanted to say is there may have been a small to the red if it wasn't for the coronavirus, because a lot of our expenses went down, transportation, including all the school trips that that the kids usually take, security services, therapists, things of that nature, even fixed costs. So,
yeah. All right. Were we able to get the funds for the trips? I know we had to kind of think of a back way to do it, but did we get the funds refunded to the parents for the field trips that were canceled?
Yes, we do. We still have some funds at the school because we have to contact the parents to come pick up the rest of the funds.
Okay. Good.
What'd you say, Principal L? You're muted.
I said that's why I'm at the school right now, so I can guard those funds.
I noticed that earlier. I was like, "Oh, Principal, you hanging out at the school?" I saw the yeah, background
I was trying to get out of here, but ended up being too late. So I just said, "I'll just do it from here."
All right, we'll try to get you out of here.
No, no worries.
So not a lot going on here. This is just kind of like the close of the school year. But is there any questions on the June finances for Ms. Finder? All right. If not, I'll accept the motion.
Motion to approve Nicole Huffner.
Thank you. Motion by Ms. Huffner.
Second, Amit Patel.
All right. It's been motion to accept. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. I don't think we had any opposition. All right. School finances. All right, we should better fly up. I made sure to get everything open so that you're not waiting. All right. So.
Good job, Mikhail.
Oh, come on, man. I'm trying to talk and get my administrative skills on. So to help out, I'm on my workstation, like my work for my job. So I got dual monitors. I got you up on one screen, and I try to have the documents up on the other. So this is the foundation. Mr. Cooper, I don't know if you had anything particular that you wanted to share here, but I do have it up for everyone to view. As you can see, hasn't been a whole lot of activity, but feel free if you have anything to share.
No, as most people have probably noticed, you just go down to the bottom and look at the basically for those for the month of June, and so you can see the number of checks, money that has come in, and money that has gone out, and in terms of the balance that we still have.
Yeah, so it hasn't been too much going on. Reimbursement for Teachers Week, and you heard me ask about the field trips, so we just had to come up with a way to refund the funds. So those are kind of, and then small charge for just unlimited Zoom, which has really come in handy since April. But that's it. So if there's no questions there, I'll accept the motion to receive that.
So moved, Emil Brown.
All right.
Accept the report.
All right. Moved by Mr. Brown, seconded by Ms. Huffner. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Any opposition? All right. The guys have it. All right. Mr. Cooper, I doubt, we haven't been able to meet in person for months, but anything from the Achievement Committee?
Well, before we go to the Achievement Committee, there was a statement that wanted to make finance about the, and I had talked to Ms. Winder this morning, and she had talked to Ms. Yates, and this is about the fundraising company that we have, and just kind of give an overall report. Obviously, there hasn't been much action on it, but at least to get some comments as to how we feel overall in terms of what is going on. So either Ms. Yates or Ms. Winder can speak to that in more detail.
All right, Ms. Winder, you first.
Well, it really hasn't been any funds that have been received from the effort. However, they have been doing a lot of work. Part of it is because of us, the way that we were set up. We are kind of like one entity with the foundation, but we're kind of like two entities. So in order for them to get federal fund grants for us, we had to do 100 million things, and it took just about the whole year to get that done. And as you all know, federal grants can be really large, but we do have that done. And so now we could move forward on that part. Also, we had to get them different quotes and everything, and we're still waiting for some quotes for some things. Getting the quotes for the bulletproof glass is crazy. It's not a lot of people that actually do that, but Jesse's still working on that. And we did get quotes to them for the gym floors, so they are working on that. So they did say, you know, that they wanted, in all fairness, to give them 2 years. So I guess as long as they give us, or, you know, that we get back what we paid them in grants.
Yeah. I mean, at least we got what they needed for federal. And in fairness, this is a weird time to kind of fundraise, just with all going on. A lot of people just aren't given like they usually do. So, but Ms. Yates, anything to add there?
That's what I was going to say. I mean, with COVID, it was kind of even things that we were super close to getting. There was like a chess one that we were so close to getting, and then COVID hit, and it was like we're diverting our funds elsewhere. And yeah. So, but they are looking at the gym floor. We're working on a stairwell, the wrap for the stairwell, so they're working on that. And they are putting in a lot of time. It's just, I think, it wasn't the greatest time with COVID, and there were so many hoops to jump through for the to get that federal, like
so many.
It was an unbelievable. That was just crazy.
Unbelievable.
So they're working. You know, the gym floor would be huge. The stairwell wrap is kind of pricey, so that would be a good thing for them. And then obviously the bulletproof glass would be huge too. So,
Liz, what do you mean by a wrap?
So they literally like, so you know how our stairwells are just kind of, they're just the concrete, you know.
Brick.
Yeah, brick, concrete, whatever it is. So they would actually like wrap it so that it looks pretty. So there would be like murals basically. They're doing it in the cafeteria. Red Clay is doing it in our cafeteria, and it's going to kind of brighten it up. But I think we just thought that it would really kind of make the atmosphere of the building look so much brighter and happier. So there's a guy who does it, and we have a quote for it. So if they could get a grant for that, it would be really exciting.
Yeah, so instead of painting murals, what you do is you get these huge wraps that they make, and they adhere to the wall, so you can remove it at any time. So in the cafeteria, we're going to have these wraps of prominent African-Americans, Obama and Latinos. So Justice Sotomayor, you know, probably Martin Luther King, other people around the cafeteria. So we felt that to beautify the school, that we would try to maybe do the hallways. The stairwells are dark, they're old. And what they do is they wrap from the ceiling to the floor. So everything is covered. And they're aquarium themes. You could do Black history. You can do ancient African history. You can do sports. You can pick anything you want, and they'll wrap So every inch of the wall will be covered from ceiling to floor, from the first floor, second floor, third floor. So the student, it could be academic, it could be any, it could have colleges, whatever you can think of, they will design that. And so, you know, because many of these, and Ms. Yates and I talk to these folks from the grant company every week. We dialogue with them and talk about ideas for, because most of, once COVID hit, all of these funders immediately started directing all their funds to helping schools deal with COVID-19. So trying to get these projects funded, you heard Ms. Yates and Ms. Winder talk about the gym floor. Well, we're not just trying to get a fresh new concrete gym. We're actually trying to get a soft, safer surface in the gym because we have students who are getting injured. So I was on the phone with them for about 30 minutes last week, helping them prepare a presentation to donors as to the benefits of the floor that we're getting, because it's a flexible surface, almost like carpet, but it's hard enough where you can bounce a ball. You can do everything. And there's some universities that are moving to these types of floors because easy on the knees, easy on the joints. I think Ms. Huffner at one time in her basketball career was hurt on the gym floor. Am I correct, Ms. Huffner?
I sure was.
Yeah, student staff basketball game. She dropped about 20 points on them and was hurt. We were able to finish the game and win it, but we lost our MVP. But that floor is very hard. Many students get hurt on the floor. So they're helping us get a grant, which is going to be about a $50,000 to $100,000 project on that floor. And the rap per level could be about $20,000 to $30,000. Level. So we're giving them big projects, and then they can break it up into smaller projects to try to help them. And they also change personnel as well. So we actually have a different person we're working with than the original rep. So that kind of, we had to transition with that too. So
yeah, I think they changed three times.
I sent you an email. With the picture of the stairwell wrap. I don't know if you got it or
sent it to who?
I sent it to Mikkel because it's pretty.
All right.
Just so they can see. It's a quick one.
Yep, I do. I got it.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I got you.
Mr. Cooper, you sound like you got excited over there.
I am. That is. Wow. Yeah.
You saw a Nemo, huh?
Yeah. So here.
Yeah.
So,
oh my goodness, yeah. We can go scuba diving on the way to art.
Yeah, that's real cool. Real cool. And then if you get that soft gym floor, you know, me, Mr. Brown, Mr. Johnson will come in. We'll take on Principal L, Mr. Shelton, and Mr. Smith, and, you know, we'll watch
out for Mr. Smith. He's pretty quick, man.
Oh, I'm not guarding him, Rob. Mr. Brown's going to guard him.
Put Cooper on Smith.
I'm a bruiser. I just file people when they come underneath.
Ollie just texted me, said he's coaching.
So if they get that, we'll have to come in and have a little game.
Yeah, so we're looking to do something like this and also have our kindergarten wing, the bricks wrapped like this as well for kindergarten. And you know what? I saw Ms. Wynn's face, so maybe first grade as well. I'll be the politician and say first grade as well. And then also, let me give you one thing, and I'm going to get off, so I want to give you guys a chance to get off the meeting, the call. But we also, this company are the ones who are making our plexiglass for our main office and front desk.
Okay.
They're also going to make hallway markers for us for social distancing to put on the floor so students can see what 6 feet will be like, and then reminders throughout the school about social distancing. So they're a state vendor, so they're going to be a great partner. They're doing a lot of this work in other school districts in Capital. So I think it'll be great, but I think it'll be a great way to beautify the school. So once the students do get in, they'll be able to come and say, wow, I was away, but school is, you guys cared enough to, you know, to beautify it for us, which I think will be great.
And I just also wanted to share, like, I'm not leaving out the ladies. So you got me, Mr. Brown, and Mr. Johnson, but then we're going to bring Ms. Patel and Rupa. They're going to be on the wing. So Ms. Huffner, we got, you know, we got you covered. We got people to cover you. Don't worry.
Listen, I have a mean backward shot. I seem to make that a lot more than I do my forward.
All right, so that's that. So, Mr. Cooper, did you have anything else as it relates to achievement?
I had a quick question. Sorry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Real quick. So, out of curiosity, I know that they're working on those grants. Are they, you know, the plexiglass and everything that you were just saying? Are they working on any grants that are COVID related that might be helping pay for the plexiglass and any other safety materials that might be needed in the school?
Yeah, we did receive a large number of dollars in CARES fund COVID related. So that'll be paying for those items. We probably got almost $500,000, Winder?
Yep.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So that'll be paying for
96 or something like that.
Yeah, so that'll be paying for new laptops for students, paying for some PPE equipment, sanitizer. I'm glad you brought that up too. We're replacing all of our water fountains because, you know, in COVID, you don't want folks getting near the water fountain. So we're going to be putting bottle filling stations where every water fountain currently is. We have one now on the third floor for our junior academy students. So we're now going to take that model and include that on every floor. So students will be able to use their own bottle and they won't be sharing a water fountain. And make it so it's touchless. They don't have to touch any buttons. It'll be an automatic filler.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that means you'll replace the one up on the third floor?
They already have a bottle filling station on the third floor.
It's not. It's touchless. I thought it wasn't touchless.
Yeah. If the one on the third floor is not touchless, it will. The plumber will replace that when it
will be updated. Yeah.
Yeah, to update that. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, that's really all. I just wanted to, this dealt with more around the finance question, the whole thing of bringing that up concerning the fundraising or the grant writing and talking about what they had done. And I think that's all the ideas that were brought out and hopefully, they will be successful for us. Now we appreciate moving to the achievement. I don't have an official report, but I have a question as well, and it doesn't necessarily have to be answered right now. My middle son was in the fourth grade, the second day of school, his teacher left to take a job as the vice principal of another school. And that whole school year, he ended up with about seven or eight teachers. That's like a teacher a month.
Right.
And at some point early on, my wife and I realized that his education wasn't going to be steady that year. So we made a point of focusing on him and really giving him extra support so that he wouldn't fall behind. And Principal L, I think you can, and anyone else may be able to apply to the statistics that have shown that if a child has a bad teacher or a difficult school year, it takes them about 2 years to catch up. Wow. And so I see this whole COVID thing is doing that. I'm not necessarily concerned with our better students, because I sense that they will. My history with that group has always showed that they're probably working right now. They never stop working and going ahead. But it's that middle group, that C, B student, that I'm concerned about. And I don't know if any thought has been done to that group, but that's a group that, if they're not pushed, then or someone's really sitting on them, they won't do the work or they won't do it all the way that they should. And these are the students that that may have the potential or could be under the definition of a late bloomer. But it's that group there that I'm concerned with. So I don't know if there doesn't have to be any questions or answers to that particular question, but I'm wondering if some thought could be done as we go forward thinking about that group of students, because I see them, and as I listen to reports over the radio during the school year, the radio and the TV would talk about all the students. You know, a lot of them had laptops, and some of them would cut it on, then they'd walk away from it. So we've got various stories. And so I'm looking at that group there, ones that if they can get away with it, they'll get away with it. But really trying to save them. Those are good students. I've found over the years, those are some good students, but they take somebody keeping an eye on them and focusing. So let me stop right there. I hope I wasn't on mute.
No, we heard you. Well, I mean, and the thing is, a quick response is that there's probably actually a larger group that we really are concerned about. Even some of your, you have a group that struggling students, who struggle the most when at home because most of the help that they receive in school. But you also have some students who were very advanced, who, if they're not being pushed, they're great working on their own, but school is just the best place, you know, for students. I don't think you're gonna get anybody that's gonna disagree with that. So this is a struggle for like almost every educator or former educator and parent. It's a struggle. So I think that what we've decided that we're gonna have to, again, become the best educators we can virtually, but also realizing that once the students do come back, that we're probably going to have to close so many gaps that you're going to almost have to have everybody in after school program, everybody in Saturday school, everybody in summer school to try and close some of the gaps that are being exposed. Because what you're seeing, what COVID did do was it exposed the serious equity issues that we have in our society, in our communities, the lack of access to not only academic support or parental support, but even just basic health care. So and there's so many families who count on schools for so much more than academic help. I mean, Ms. Winder will tell you, Ms. Yates will tell you, Shelton Smith, anybody, Ms. Neal, anybody on this call will tell you that parents will come in here and ask for any number of things, from books to food to bus passes to food, you know, grocery, gift cards to the grocery, social service help. There's just so many, there's so many pillars that the school stands on to serve for the community, that when you remove that from the most neediest stakeholder, that you almost sentence them to a life of struggle. That's why it's imperative in our community that we follow the rules so that we can fight this virus and get our kids back in school so they can be with the people that they need to be with. But we are going to be, the reason why we are working with our coaches and making sure that we are setting up extra opportunities for those students so they don't fall through the cracks. We're going to be communicating with our parents, and that's why I think this Schoology platform is going to be a real increase for us, because it's going to give us a better way to be able to track the progress and the success of these students. So we'll have to keep working hard and been prepared to put the foot on the pedal when these students return to school.
Principal, you said something about, students, parents have come to you in terms of looking for books, but you mentioned three other things that I wrote down to make a note of, in terms of money for food, bus tickets, and things like that. Do you need a fund, something that the board can set up so that you can use for that? Would that be something that you see right now?
Well, we do receive monies from the state to provide families with help, but sometimes there are guidelines that prevent us from using the funds to help parents. So there, I'm sure that we could find some time to talk offline and maybe set up some type of emergency fund to help, you know, some of our, we literally have some families who are living on the street. We have kids that are living. Families that are living in these hotels and being
evicted.
So that's something that I'm sure, especially at a time like right now, because there are people who were working, they're not working. So that's something definitely I think that we would love to have a conversation about.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm good.
Okay, cool.
I'm good.
All right, good. Not good, but all right, we'll move on. That's good conversation. I mean, this has been one of the best meetings we've had in a month, so this has been very good. Moving on. For personnel, so Rupa, I was thinking maybe I might set up me, you, and Pat. I kind of haven't, in this new normal, I always thought, when we get back in person, we get back, we'll just meet and we'll just talk about some things. But clearly this is the new normal. So I'll set up something for us so we can just kind of talk about what we want to do there. I'll email you both and just check your schedules and we'll meet before the next meeting. Unless, Rupert, you had any thoughts on that? Tom's still yours if you have anything you wanted to share.
No, I actually didn't even hear you because my internet just froze.
Oh, okay. No, I was saying I was just going to set up time for you, Pat, and I to kind of just talk personnel. I hadn't done that because I thought I would just do it in person, but we don't know when we'll ever be able to do that. So I just set up a Zoom, and I'll reach out to you and just check your availability, and we can just kind of talk through that. Mr. Brown or anyone, Pat, for operations, anything that you wanted to share with the board, any thoughts or anything?
Yeah, I came in and met with Jesse. He gave me a brief tour. I'm kind of in Hal's absence, doing what he would do. So I took a walk around with Jesse. Of course, he's doing great things. Principal Bell stole my thunder about the water fountains.
Sorry, you might have some more info on it. But you might have some recon.
The only thing I have are two major things that Jesse and I discussed. One is the piping that is corroding within itself, and I think he's told Principal Bell. And also the roofing issue. But we've known about the roof issue for a while, and these are major dollar items. So it's not something we can fix over the summer. But maybe as we pay off the mortgage, we might be able to sock some of that money away for some of the big dollar repairs that we're going to have to do.
Definitely.
The age of the school, we're going to have to do some major repairs. So we need to kind of plan for those and budget for those as well.
Okay.
And I know Jesse's on it. He's concerned about it, and I was very happy to, know that he recognized what we're in store for in the next few years. So I don't know whether we kind of probably need a plan for that and budget for that over the next 5 years, if we can do it in stages or something like that.
Yeah, point well taken. And we will be, our main mortgage will be paying off later in the year or the early part of next year. So definitely something we could do.
So I didn't have a formal report, but that's my verbal.
All right. Well, thank you very much for that. I don't have anything major for the executive committee. Again, just any support we can give the school during these times. The responsibility, I don't envy it at all, kind of planning for something that you don't really know what the ask will be. So we definitely appreciate each and every one from the teachers on up to Principal L. So extend our extreme thanks to everyone. But that is all I have by way of commentary. Any other thoughts from folks, the board, staff? Any new business, anything we didn't touch on that we should have discussed? All right. No, this was great. I mean, this was the best participation since we've been physically in the school. So I think we've gotten this Zoom thing down. And we'll continue to, I had only set it up through July, but we'll can, you know, there's no reason to switch this for August. So we'll meet virtually. And between now and then, we'll see what the governor has to say about the school year. Any other comments for anybody? Feel free to chime in. Otherwise, you know, enjoy the rest of your evening. I appreciate everybody taking the time to dial in today. It was definitely a full meet and full of discussion. Principal L, you can head home.
Thank you.
Ms. Winder, I'll send you the link for the audio.
Okay, thank you.
All right, but everyone have a good night.
Yeah, good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night.